Hard Drive DL is brought to you by Discover. Visit them at discover.com.
You're listening to Hard Drive DL, available at harddriveradio.com or download the Hard Drive Radio mobile app.
Hey everybody, Paulie here, and I am pleased as punch to have one of my favorite musicians in the studio with me today, Mr. Randy Bly of Lamb of God. Man, thank you so much for coming down today.
Thanks so much for having me down here today. It's awesome. We're going to have a good time.
Randy just came from a morning show, and apparently he's stuck.
I am in the zoo. I am in the zoo, the morning zoo.
So, I mean, it seems like stalking your Instagram, it seems like you're coming back from a pretty sweet, beautiful vacation to this snowy wonderland we have before us in New York today.
Yeah, it wasn't a vacation. I went down to Grand Cayman Island, and I had a solo photography exhibition opening at the National Gallery of the Cayman Islands. It was a very ocean-centric photography exhibit because they're a small island country, you know. I have, through someone else I know in Cayman, I met someone who was involved with the arts there, and they kind of put me on with the curator and director of the National Gallery there, and it went really, really well. Not rock and roll at all. It was great. There's no rock fans. So it was like, you know, older people. And I didn't have to worry about anyone like throwing up in the potted plant in the corner, you know, or anything. That's not a fair assessment. I mean, I had a gallery opening in New York a few years ago, and I put on my Instagram before then. I'm like, look, this is an art gallery. It's about art. It's about opening. Do not show up drunk. Do not scream. Don't break anything. If you break it, you buy it, you know? And everybody was really well behaved. But no, I was down there and I did it wasn't much of a vacation really. I mean, I did get to do some snorkeling and stuff, which was really cool. I did a photography workshop for high school students down there. Free photography workshop, which was really cool. It was an educational component to the whole thing. It's really gratifying to me to do that and to, you know, do something artistic that's not connected to the band so much. And I mean, those people have zero idea who Lamb of God is, so it's kind of fun, you know.
Have you ever considered putting together like a book of your photography?
Oh yes, yeah. That'll be coming. I have a few different concepts that'll get worked out, but right now the first thing is to get my photography website up. And you know, my buddy Chris Shields is having people build me one because I'm a technological idiot, but that way people will be able to, you know, look at some of the photos and buy some prints. Not gonna be cheap. I'll have something more affordable for people who don't want to spend $500 on a print, which is still reasonable in the art world, but not everybody has $500 for that. So I'll have something available for people who just want a photo.
That would be me.
Yeah.
I can't afford $500 for a photo, but
you get nothing.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, it's going to be for everyone but you.
Oh, well then I will sit in a corner and lament about it.
No, don't. No, we'll make something happen for you.
I'll get you the Morning Zoo discount. Enter the code right now.
Yes.
Skunk.
That's
for 20% off.
We got you here to talk about a new album, but this one is going to be a little different, right?
I suppose, yeah. we didn't write any of the music, so yeah, that's pretty different about it.
So tell me a little bit, you know, of you know, the idea of making a covers album, is this something you guys have wanted to do for a long time?
Long time.
Or is this just a shot in the dark?
This is something that we've been talking about off and on for years and years and years and now, you know. Bands do cover albums. It's not like we invented the thing, you know, but it's something like, oh, it'd be easy, you know, to get together and it'd be fun, you know. That's the whole purpose behind it. And as we're still touring on our last album, the last Lamb of God record, the tour cycle that never ends, it seems. We got some Slayer runs coming up, you know, to kind of finish that. We figured, oh, we could bang something out, you know, to give to fans to tide them over until we decide to reconvene, whenever that may be, and work on other stuff. But we're releasing it under the name Burn the Priest, our first name, because the sort of concept behind it is it's songs that would have influenced us directly at that time when we were Burn the Priest, because we were only Burn the Priest from 94 to 99, you know, and we played mostly with punk rock bands, you know, in the punk rock scene, because the metal scene as it is today did not exist then, you know. It was much, much smaller. So the guy who put out the Burn the Priest record was just a buddy of mine, Mikey Brosnan. He passed away a few years ago, got hit by a drunk driver, so rest in peace. But he started a record label. He just maxed out a credit card to put out our album because nobody else was going to do it. And his record label, he named it, was Legion Records. So in his honor and memory, it's Burn the Priest XX, which means 20, for those of you who are not familiar with Roman numerals, because it's the 20th year anniversary of the Burn the Priest album release. And it's called Legion kind of in honor of him. And you know, that's the first album. That's the name of the record label the first album came out on. So, you know, just a sort of nod to our buddy, as it were.
Thank you for that. I mean, I'm sorry to hear that he passed away. That's real.
Yeah, it sucked. He was a really dear friend of mine. I met him out in California. I was out there just traveling. I rode freight trains out there. I was squatting in the Bay Area and stuff, and he was an East Coast guy, and we wound up hanging out because the East Coast definitely has a different vibe, you know, particularly in the, like, Bay Area, like, Berkeley area. It's, like, mad hippied out and stuff, and we're just kind of more aggro hanging out. And one day he was like, dude, I got a van working that we're going to go back to the East Coast. Do you want to go? And I'm like, yes, it's getting cold. Don't want to ride freight trains back in the fall, you know. And we just stayed friends ever since. So he booked our first shows in Philly for us in these warehouses in West Philly. There were three warehouses, Fake House, Kill Time, and Stalag 13. And Stalag 13 was the warehouse where we really developed a fan base. Like, we didn't have an album out, but we put 500 kids, you know, all from the Northeast, you know, around the Philly area in that warehouse. So that's where we really started gaining traction, and our buddy Mikey booked all those shows for us. So it was mostly playing with, like, crust punk and hardcore bands and stuff, because that's the world I come from anyway. You know, I don't come from the metal scene. So when we started, like, talking about doing this album and stuff, it was always with the sort of understanding that it was going to be songs more from that world. I wouldn't want to do an album of covering metal bands because we're a metal band, you know, there's really no point in that. So, but it was a lot of fun, you know, that's the main thing, to have a little fun. It was the most fun I've had recording, at least with this band, because Lamb of God is not fun to record with.
No?
No.
Oh.
It's hideous.
It's, the end results for me personally sound amazing. I'm sorry that it's not.
Well, that's why it's good.
Yeah.
Because we hate each other and we, you know, like, argue and, like, there's all that, like, I mean, it's, nothing's easy in this band creatively. Nothing. We're five very different people. So with this, it was like, it was really mellow for the most part. To get, you know, 10, 11 songs together that we could agree on and to record. And there's a whole lot less pressure when you're recording a cover because you don't have to think, does this suck? Did I write a crappy part? You know, is this going to translate well? Because you already know it's going to translate well because you know the tune and you like it, you know?
Let's talk about those songs because, you know, there's a lot of great punk songs out there, and to have to kind of, you know, pick and choose your favorites and then carve it down to this, the, was it, I think 12 or so?
There's
tracks.
11.
11.
Like basically, it was a pretty democratic process. Basically, Mark, there's a couple of songs on the album that we've been talking about covering for years. Like the Bad Brains song, like, A, they're my favorite band of all time. B, I sing for them sometimes. C, we were on a camping trip 19 years ago going four-wheeling in the mountains of West Virginia, and that song was on the radio, and I was sitting with Mark, and I was singing it, and he was like, we should cover that. That's like 19 years ago. We've been waiting to cover this freaking song, you know? And I was like, yes, that always stuck up here. There's another song by a band called Slang Louse. There's a Richmond band that never put out their album. It's recorded. It's magnificent. I want to try and find someone to put this freaking album out. Really influential band on us that nobody outside of Richmond knows about. You know, they would play some shows in New York, and they got some label attention up here and stuff, but they never put their song out. So we've always wanted to cover the song Axis Rot that they did. It's just awesome. So like when they brought up the covers thing, Mark and one of the guys in management, Bob, was like, let's do a covers record because we can do it in between tour times and it'll be quick, fast, and easy. And it'll just be something fun, some product, you know, to have out. And it's the Burn the Priest 20-year anniversary. And I was like, cool. I sent him a list of like 20, 25 songs, and several of those made it. But like there's like bands that we didn't cover. Like I'm a huge Misfits fan, right? But so many bands have covered the Misfits. I'm a huge Discharge fan. So many bands have covered Discharge. I'm a huge Sex Pistols fan. So many bands have covered the Sex Pistols. So it's not like these songs are the condensation of my favorite bands of all time. They're just the ones that I kind of chose or that we came to an agreement on were ones that maybe hadn't been covered to death, I suppose. And it's hard to find songs that haven't been covered because we already recorded this Melvin's song. And it's like, oh, Dillinger Escape Plan did a great cover of that, like, you know, 8 years. I'm like, crap, you know? But what can you do? And Municipal Waste sometimes covers Inherit the Earth live. I didn't know that until we already recorded it. But they haven't recorded it. So, I mean, they're our homies anyway. So I think they'll give us a pass on this one.
I hope.
Plus, I've been listening to the Misfits since they were all, I mean, I'm listening to the Accused since they were all, like, five. So
seniority.
Yeah, I got seniority. I know Tommy, you know. But, like, you know, some of the songs are a little bit outside of the box. They're not stuff I would pick. Like, our bass player picked the Quicksand song. I'm a big Quicksand fan. I love their last album. They put out a record recently that was just amazing. I made it one of the pick of weeks on my radio show. But I would never have picked that song. And our bass player is like, I know everybody's going to say no, but here's my submission. I want to cover Die Alone by Quicksand. I'm like, let's do it. Screw it. You know, it's fun. So, I mean, that's the whole thing is have some fun, you know, really have some fun. And it's covers. You know, I'm sure some people would be like, why didn't you cover this? I'm going to be like, well, I don't know. You know?
Maybe make a second one if you guys are feeling excited.
Yeah. Hatebreed's going to do a second cover record, I know.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're out, or at least Jamie's always talking about it. They did For the Lions, so.
I always wonder about, you know, the legal ends of that. I mean, if you want to record somebody else's song, you know, do you just, you know, call up HR from Bad Brains, be like, hey, man, want to do this? Or is, like, there a lot of, like, paperwork and shit involved?
If you want to, like, change their song, well, A, people... I mean, you probably understand this. You're in the industry. But the publishing is going to go to the people who wrote the song, not us. So it's not like, even if one of the songs on this album got placed in a movie or something and you would see publishing royalties to that, like suppose a Bad Brains song got put in the latest Star Wars, which would be freaking insane, right? George Lucas, you hear me? Like the Bad Brain song, Chewbacca in Space or whatever, you know. The publishing is going to go to the Bad Brains because they wrote the song, you know. We might get, I don't know if we would even get mechanical royalties on that or whatever, but the publishing would go to them. So maybe we'd get a rights fee up front. But as far as like legally covering someone else's song, you can cover whoever you want as long as you don't change the song, like, rewrite everything. Like I couldn't take, you know, a Britney Spears song and cover it and rewrite it to be about something meaningful instead of like the crap that she sings about, you know. I'd probably get sued for that.
Well, now I kind of want to hear what that would sound like though.
Oops, I did it again, Britney. Sorry. Who's popular now? See, I always say like Britney Spears, and then that's hack and old. And Justin Bieber, I know he was popular for a while. I don't know what you children listen to.
I don't know anything about pop music. That's, I don't either. That's not my wheelhouse.
I don't either. Nothing.
That's
I'm
a
ignorant.
Point of pride, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know anything about pop culture in general. Like, I don't know who any actors are. I don't watch TV. I read books.
Books? What are those?
Books, yeah. They're these weird things. I wrote one of them. Working on another one, so.
Is that like the internet on paper?
Yeah. It's slow internet, man. It's the thinking man. The books are the thinking man's internet. Quote of the day. Ding.
Mark that one down. Where did you guys record this album?
In the garage.
No way. Really?
Yeah. Who's except garage? For the drums. Mark Morton's.
Yeah?
Yeah. Actually, some of it Willie tracked in his, like, Willie tracked some of the beginning tracks at his crib. I think just like he's got a room in his house. But I did vocals, all the vocals at Mark's house. Mark did all of his guitars at Mark's house. John did all the bass at Mark's house. Chris did the drums in California, I think. But yeah, it's a garage, straight up garage, like with a hot rod in it. Mark's two race cars. Beneath the, because Mark has this room above his garage. There's two race cars there. So it's a garage session.
That's about as punk as it gets right there.
Yeah, man. That's where we started, you know, in the crappy practice spaces and stuff, you know.
What are the punk bands that you find yourself going back to again and again? Like, what are the staples for you?
All of them. I mean, I have a radio show where it's the punk rock radio show. So I've been listening to more punk rock than ever lately. But Bad Brains, of course, The Misfits, Samhain, Corrosion of Conformity, Amoebics, Discharge, Sex Pistols, Fear, like Black Flag, The Accused, Septic Death. I mean, I can just go on and on and on and on and on, but those are like the larger ones, you know. But probably Bad Brains I listen to the most out of any of those bands because I've had to learn how to sing some of their songs. It's hard.
What do you think are the elements that make a good punk song?
Simplicity, first of all, and that's the whole thing. Like in modern metal, metal has, before the advent of speed or thrash metal. Metal had the virtuosity in playing, you know, but none of the balls, right? It just didn't. So then you got guys like Metallica, Anthrax, Megadeth, Slayer, who are listening to things like Discharge and Black Flag and The Misfits and all that stuff, and it's speeding them up and making them more aggressive and more direct. So a good punk song, I think, is direct and... I mean, it's direct. They're like punk rock, I think, loses some of its impact if it gets weird, too weird and obtuse. You know, there's some good ones that did that, like, but they were mostly instrumental bands, like Blind Idiot God. They were an SST band that I really like. But I think it's got to be direct and no filler, like no wanking. That's the problem, you know, as soon as you get, and that's the problem with musicians in general, is that they have the need to wank because they're like, oh, look how this blazing fast scale I can play, blah, 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 has nothing to do with the music, won't serve the song at all, but it's a masturbatory exhibitionist display of their prowess, you know, which really impresses geeks, but I'm not one of those guys. I'm a geek of a different sort. I am a geek, don't get it twisted, but I'm not... I don't care how many BPMs you can play your double bass or like how many scales you can run on your 8-string guitar. That stuff is nerdish and it gets you no chicks. So I think a good punk rock song has none of that stuff. It's to the point. And that was the whole thing. And there's definitely a bit of ugliness to it, you know, because punk rock music is a reaction to, punk rock music came about as a reaction to the just commercial crap that was out in the 70s, you know, that got even worse in the 80s. I mean, Air Supply, Please Kill Me, you know, that's punk rock was a middle finger in the air to all that stuff. And it's also the fact that punk rock allowed rock and roll music to come back into the hands of the people, because for a while it was the province of, you know, super trained musicians with super expensive equipment. And punk rock people were like, no, I only know three chords, but that's enough. Listen to the Ramones, you know? They weren't genius guitar players. That they were just taking what was, you know, they sound like 50s pop music at times, the Ramones did. They took it, stripped away all the crap, sped it up, made it aggressive, and there it is, you know? And you didn't have to spend 8 years at whatever music college getting a degree that won't get you anywhere in the music industry anyway. So in order to form your band, you just go and do it. And I think punk rock songs, the best ones, in my opinion, have an element of political or sociological commentary in one way or the other. It's about something real. It's a reaction to the vapidness of pop music. And that's where metal got good, when they started listening to, you know, they weren't singing about dragons anymore. They started singing about real life stuff.
Not a big Manowar fan then, are you?
I mean, it's funny. Yes. No diss on those dudes, but like, I go watch you wear a loincloth for an evening, sure, but like, it's not my thing, you know? It's not my thing at all.
Speaking of your thing, you have mentioned your radio show before. Where can people find that, and when can they listen?
It's on Gimme Radio, which is a newer, it's all metal, actually, except for my show. It's all metal on Gimme Radio. You can go to gimmeradio.com, sign up for a free account, or we have an app available for Android and iTunes. And my show is called The Power Remains. And the point of my show is to show the influence that punk rock music has had on modern metal, you know. And I go kind of out there with the definition of punk rock, too. I'm pretty loose. Punk rock, hardcore, I move into industrial, sometimes noise, even a little goth. But all of that has been filtered into metal today. Like, people are probably saying, goth, what are you talking about? I mean, go listen to Typo Negative. Where do you think that got their creepiness from? You know, for sure. So, but it's gimmeradio.com. The show is The Power Remains, and it airs on Fridays at 12 noon Pacific, 3 p.m. Eastern Standard. And it's free. It's free, you jerks, and it's ad-free, and it's a real DJ. And on Fridays when it airs, I'm in the chat room. So
that's not a bot just writing things back to people. That's literally you.
No, that's me. If there's no comments from me, then I'm not there. But if there are comments from me, I am there.
Awesome.
Unless I have my Colombian manservant, Juan, filling in for me that week. Yes, him. Well, actually, he's Costa Rican.
Oh, my mistake. Sorry. Will there be any touring behind this record?
I'm saying no. We haven't discussed this, but I'm assuming no. We got some Slayer legs coming up, and I'm sure we're going to play a song or two from the album on that. But we're still touring on the last Lamb of God record. It's not time to all of a sudden book a Burn the Priest tour, you know? We'll be playing some of the songs, you know. Hopefully those will just stay and be worked into the Lamb of God set over the years. We'll see how they go over, you know. My hope is that people are going to listen to this record, the Lamb of God fans are going to listen to this record, and listen to these covers and then go back and listen to the original stuff. Because you take, like, the first song that is getting released Friday, Inherit the Earth by The Accused. The singer of The Accused is a huge influence on me. Him and Mike Dean and Reed Mullen from COC in the Animosity era, there's a lot of wow, like all that stuff. I didn't come up with that. That, like, the way I ramp things, all that comes from them. So it's just my spin on it. So I'm hoping people will go back and listen to the OG stuff, you know?
And I got the track listing ahead because doing research for this interview, and it was absolutely an education, because, you know, I really don't know that much about punk. So I would go and I'd listen to all these songs. I'm like, wow, you know, I've missed a huge chunk. So I'm hoping that other people who get to listen to this record will go back and kind of do the research and look into these bands and find all the great music they've written, because I missed out.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at like something like the Metallica 598 EP, the Garage Days Revisited, you know, I heard that, their song, The Wait, before I ever heard Killing Joke, right? I'd heard of Killing Joke, but I hadn't ever listened to Killing Joke when I first heard that song, which I think that came out in like 80-something, Garage Days Revisited did. But that made me, I was like, oh, this is a covers album. Who did this? And I went back and listened to Killing Joke. From there, found their self-titled first album, which is just magnificent, you know? So it worked for me. I'm hoping it works for some other people as well. You know, Slayer did a whole album of punk rock covers too, Undisputed Attitude. So we're not the first to do it. It's just our particular take on it.
Is there going to be another Lamb of God album in the works soonish, or are you guys looking to maybe take some time off?
You know, Lamb of God will convene and do Lamb of God when Lamb of God does Lamb of God. That's what I always say. Nobody knew we were doing this. You know why? Because we didn't go on radio shows and talk about it. So until it's time, you know. So when it's time, it's time. You know, and I don't know when that time will be,
right.
But I will find out, and so will you when it arises.
A quick word to fans listening to this interview.
Oi. Hey, come out. Hey there, jerky. Come on down and check us out in Slayer. We're coming to Slayer. No, man, just come on out and check it out, man. Check it out, fans. Get some punk rock with it, dude.
Awesome. Oi was definitely the correct short word.
Oi, yes. Yeah. O-I exclamation point. Oi to the oi to the world on this snowy New York City day.
Excellent. Thank you. Randy, man, thank you so much. This was a blast.
Thank you.
More episodes of Hard Drive DL at harddriveradio.com. Download the Hard Drive Radio mobile app and keep listening.